Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
7-4, Florida. The Sabres defense and goaltending again, letting them down in another regulation loss in which they score four goals. Got a great stat here coming up for you in just one moment. Brian Colsey with you here on the post-game show. I mean, you're up 3-0 and 4-1, but it never, ever felt safe throughout the night. It never felt safe. The Panthers, we know, can score, and they can score quick, and they can score in bunches, and they've been great at home scoring. And Florida, 5-on-5 this year, came into the night a plus 20 goal differential just in the 5-on-5 scenario. They do get one of the power play, a couple empty netters, but man, they can score and they can score quick. And of course, let's face it, I mean, the faith in Aaron Dell probably is slim. It is slim, shouldn't say probably. And you give up 7-5 against, of course, the goalie and two more in the empty net. But I mean, this is, to me, it is not how I thought the Sabres would lose this year. I thought the Sabres would lose because they couldn't score, because the lineup up front would just not score. Now, I'm not saying that I came into the season with high expectations about goaltending. These, to me, are more painful losses because they are scoring. Here's the stat that I want to share. I'm going to tweet out the details in a moment. In the last 3 weeks, the Sabres have scored four goals five different times on five different occasions. They've gotten to four. You should win in the NHL if you get to four. They've scored four goals five times in the last 3 weeks. Guess how many points they have in those five games? Zero. Zero. And you should win when you get to four. Look at the goaltending that they have right now. Of course, you might lose one or two of those. But to go that 0 for that many, I'll go through the details on that in a moment. All right, let's go to the locker room in Florida, and here's Vinny Hinestroza now live on the postgame.
Stop playing our game, or they started playing better, but obviously we got to play a full 60, how we played the first 20, and that's something we've kind of been dealing with, and something we're going to continue to work on.
Is that something you've seen with just young teams? Because it seems like, I mean, you guys are having trouble handling the surges, especially on the road when that team comes at you.
Maybe, but I don't think we'll disagree. I think we got a great group of guys. I think everyone knows what we want to do, and everyone, for the most part, tries to do it. It's just a couple lapses here and there, and it's slowly get better, I think, with it, and we're just going to continue to grow. But like I said, it's just the quicker we could get to play the full 60 minutes every night, the better we're going to be.
What was the talk like in the second period, entering the third, after you guys obviously weren't happy with that 20 minutes there?
Yeah, we're still up a goal. We got to go out and play our game for one period. We win a game. So I think we're still in good spirits. I think they got that power play goal quick, and then it kind of snowballed from there. So I think for tomorrow, Carolina, I get to practice that and get better and look at some video. But we just got to be better.
Is it encouraging you guys? I think it's four out of the last seven, you guys have scored four or more goals. So you're offensively, you guys are generating.
Yeah, I think anytime we're scoring goals, that's good. Obviously, we got to play better defensively, though. I think the first period, Deller made some unbelievable saves. It could have been whatever. It was 3-0 after the first, could have been 3-3. So I think Deller played great, and it's important enough for me to play 16.
All right, that's Vinny Hinostroza live in South Florida. We will get some more reaction here coming up on the post game. Yeah, here's the stat. Again, they scored 4 goals in the last 3 weeks, 5 different times. They have no points in those games. A 5-4 loss to Toronto. Remember, Riley scored with 11 point whatever seconds left in that game. They lost 5-4 to the Rangers. Remember, they let the goal in with less than a second to go. That was a crusher. They lost 7-4 to Columbus with, I want to say, 2 empties. They lost 7-4 to Seattle with an empty. They lost 7-4 to Florida with 2 empties tonight. And you score 4 goals in the NHL, you should, at the very least, you should be getting to overtime to get a point. And they've done that 5 times in the last 3 weeks. 5 times the Sabres should have probably won the game or at the very least gone to overtime. And, you know, this is the current state. Craig Anderson's hurt through this entire stretch. It's either been Dustin Tokarski or Aaron Dell. And Dell obviously has been a part of this. And, you know, the move today, I think, of trading for Malcolm Subban, I mean, that's not going to necessarily solve the Sabres' goaltending issues. But I will at least commend Kevin Adams for saying, look, we can essentially get this guy for nothing. Let's give it a shot. He was highly thought of there for a little while. Maybe that has worn off, but maybe he can find a little energy playing with the Sabres organization and give him another shot and see what happens. So I'm okay with that. I don't want the Sabres to trade any of these young players that have value away now for a goalie. Ultimately, with what is there, you'd like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to, at some point maybe this season, be ready to be the number one guy and just take over. And let him be the guy and let Craig Anderson be the number two and go forward with that. Craig Anderson, from what we hear, has been excellent in the room. I think the whole goal for him was to mentor UPL. So, you know, maybe that's the combination that ultimately the Sabres need, but it's just not going well right now. All right, let's go back to South Florida. More from the locker room. And Casey Mittelstadt returned to the lineup tonight. He scored. He's now speaking live with the media.
You know, I mean, they're a good team. That's how they want to play. That's what they want to do. Yeah. And, obviously, they've been doing it to a lot of teams this year. But, yeah, I just think at some point, when they're coming after us, we got to fight back. And, yeah, I think that's about it. And stop bleeding. So it's been kind of a sour spot a lot of the year, so that's on us as players. We got to go out and win the next shift, and we just let the momentum get too far in the third.
You feel like you guys stopped attacking, you know, in the second period, and maybe we're sitting back just a little bit?
I'm gonna have to go back and look to answer that. I think more than anything, it's just we got to calm down a little bit. We get one up there, we still got a 3-1 lead. Let's go and play hockey. And sometimes we get a little unsorted, we get a little jumpy, and obviously some of that simply be fixed with playing more games and time. But for right now, we got to push back there, especially after a goal either side. We got to win the next shift, and obviously that was some way to do it.
Talk about your goal. You trying to put it right where you put it?
Yeah. I was kind of looked up and was a little surprised. Just put it right where I want it.
What's it like facing a team that plays a very similar style to you guys? It's pretty close on how they like to play offensively.
Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be a game with a lot of rushes, and we're going to go back and forth. And like I said, it's. It's just on us to go out, stop bleeding, and continue to play the way we played in the first period. If we play that way the whole game, we're not going to lose very many games. So, it's on us as players. We got to push back there.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, there's Casey Mittelstadt scoring in his return to the lineup from injury from way back in the first week of the season. Good to see Mittelstadt back. He gets on the board. Sabres injury list now, it was long for a while. It's just Craig Anderson and Alex Tuck right now as of the moment. So that is at least trending in the right direction. The injury report brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Brian Colziel here on the postgame. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more postgame coming up, including Don Granato's postgame comments, highlights, standings update, Paul Hamilton as well. Final score from Florida, it was the Panthers 7 to the Sabres 4. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
What is the game's tying goal? Relieve Bobrovsky in that second period. He is back in net to start this third, and the Sabres PK trying to keep the Panthers to the outside. Here as Bennett walks it in, then kicks it out. Huberdeau, that goes off the post. Rebound scores Ekblad as Dell couldn't get over, showing his frustration after what is the game's tying goal.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. 4-4 Florida at that point. They score 107 into the third period after the Sabres had led throughout. That was the first time the game was tied, other than, of course, the start of the game. Power play goal for Ekblad, his eighth of the season, second of the game, and it's 4-4. And then we go just a little less than 7 minutes later, and here's your game winner as Lundell scores after a previous instance that the Sabres somehow didn't score when Gergensen threw it toward the net. Back the other way it goes. Panthers take the lead for good.
In behind the net. Carter Verhaeghe in front. Scores. Not tied anymore. Lindell does score this time, and it's 5-4. Panthers comeback continues.
Lindell's fourth of the season at 8:05. Again, that whole sequence. Somehow, the Sabres on the other end with Gergensen don't score. It goes off of a stick of a Florida player, hits the post, doesn't go in, then back the other way they come and get you the game winner. And then two more in terms of the empty net, made it 6-4 and 7-4. There's your play of the game, the game winner. It's brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo with Seneca Resorts and Casinos. And all of our game highlights throughout the night, they've been brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. Yeah, I mean, that moment, I mean, that's just bad luck, for sure. Welcome to the Sabres season. They've had a lot of that. But, I mean, how does that happen? The Sabres are putting on some decent pressure. It's still a tie game. It's not like they've just gave up. Gergensen's looks like he scored. I mean, I clearly thought it was going in the net from watching the broadcast. And the defenseman's, the side of the stick actually clipped the puck, and then it grazed off the side of the post and then dropped on the line and somehow didn't go in. And the play continues, and guess what? When it goes right back into the Sabres' end, it ends up in the net. I mean, that's just, unfortunately for the Sabres, it's a terrible break. I don't, you know, you could say, well, good teams figure out a way to score there. And I'll listen to that too, for sure. But, I mean, that is just, that's a really bad break for the Sabres. They go up 5-4. Maybe we're having a different discussion right now. Maybe we're not. But I would have liked to have seen it played out that way with Buffalo maybe getting their fifth goal there, courtesy of Gergensen's. Brian Colziel back here on the postgame. Don Granato's postgame comments coming up. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take on this one as the Sabres fall 7-4. Let's get you some final stats. Shot totals for Florida, 13 in the first, 21 in the second, 11 in the third, for a total of 45. For the Sabres, they end up getting 7 in the first, 6 in the second, 18 in the third, total of 31. Power plays, this is another spot where the Sabres could have maybe had an answer, as they had 3 cracks at it, and all of them were in the third period when they needed a goal, and they didn't score. The only period that they didn't score. So Buffalo goes 0 for 3 on the night, Florida 1 of 4. In net, how about that? Sergei Bobrovsky was terrible. He made 8 saves on 12 shots, and he doesn't have to take the loss for the game. Spencer Knight comes in, faces 19 shots, 18 of them in the third, by the way, when Buffalo came on there, and he stopped them all. So Spencer Knight gets the win. In goal for the Sabres, Aaron Dell throughout. He takes the loss. 43 shots he faced, and he made 38 saves. Two of the Florida shots went into the empty net. Your three stars, well, here's the former Sabres, Sam Reinhardt. He had a very solid game tonight. One goal and two assists. He is star number three. Aaron Ekblad had a pair of goals, his seventh and eighth of the season. He had an assist as well, star number two. And Jonathan Huberdeau, he's just an outstanding player. He ends up on the night, a big point night for him. Three assists and an empty net goal, so four-point night for Huberdeau. He is the number one star. The attendance tonight in Florida, not much more than you'd see in Buffalo, 11,751. Again, that's announced, so probably less. I mean, that is a premier team in the NHL right there. I am well aware South Florida is not a hotbed for being an NHL hockey market, but it's too bad. That team is fun. That team is exciting. They have all-stars on their team like Huberdeau, Ekblad. They've got really good players. Reinhardt, obviously, added to that mix. And they play on most nights in front of a very, very bad crowd there. And you know that there's Sabre fans there, too, tonight. Like, I mean, that's the Sabres fans, even when they're bad like they are, they travel well. So you got to figure, you know, they added to that total tonight, whether it was, a 1,000 of them or maybe Buffalo fans. That's just, it's too bad. It's a nice building. I've been there for a game. I think it's a beautiful facility. But it's much closer to Fort Lauderdale than it is Miami. But nevertheless, just it's a really good team. And it's too bad that that building's not packed because they are a very, very fun team to watch, I think. I think they play a style that I would love the Sabres to play. The Sabres, I think, do play an entertaining style at times. But, man, can they be frustrating to watch? And tonight, like, there's another example of it. You're up 3-0. You're up 4-1. You got to figure out a way to get it done. You got to, even though Florida is good, even though Florida is better, like you've got to figure out a way to get that done. And they just couldn't tonight. Again, can you at least get it to overtime to get a point? For whatever it's worth, I'm not sitting here saying a point is going to cost the Sabres in the end from making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. But all these games that I mentioned in the previous segment that they've scored four goals, you have to figure out a way when you score four goals to at least get the game to overtime. Now we'll see what Malcolm Subban does here coming in goal. Whether or not he will meet with the Sabres. He'll meet the Sabres in Raleigh. So we'll see if he gets to go in on Saturday against the Hurricanes or if Lukanen stays with the team, if he'll get a chance to go. Remember, the Amerks are on COVID pause right now. So for Lukanen, it's not like he's missing games with the Amerks or he's tired in any capacity. I understand why he didn't play tonight. It just barely made it in time getting on a flight going down there from Western New York down to South Florida to get there and be there to be the backup just in case. So I know the Sabres had said, look, you know, he didn't get a skate in this morning. He's just coming off a plane. Like, we're not going to just throw him out there. I mean, could it have been any worse? Probably not. But I'll be curious to see whether Subban gets Saturday's game or if Lukanen ends up getting Saturday's game. Again, Dustin Tokarski, why is he not an option? Maybe if you didn't hear the news today, he has been placed on the COVID-19 protocol list. 7-4, Florida victorious. Don Granato is now meeting with the media live down in South Florida. Let's take you there to hear from the Sabres head coach.
Period in particular, when you guys really got away from your game and the details slumped a little bit.
Yeah, I think, overall, it's an incredible hockey team. Obviously, we know that. They just had 50 shots against Washington Capitals two nights ago. But I thought the pace was unbelievable. I thought our guys were fine with the pace. I thought some guys, a few guys struggled. And then they couldn't regain. Primarily just back in our end, back for pucks and mismanagement. So, we had some self-inflicted errors there that accumulated through the second period. And second period, it's tough when especially defensemen, they get caught on their on long line changes. It's obviously longer to get to the bench. And that happened shift after shift for that group in the second period, and that complicated things in the second. So by virtue of getting out of the second, the third was going to be a little better. And it was in that regard, and we had some chances. I like the fact that we generated chances all the way through. And it was great to see three lines. Now it moves up this to the wing. Three lines being Thompson, Middlestead, Cousins, I thought was a nice feel. Really nice feel. I thought at times we struggled to get the puck up to them, but the three, that those three lines were really nice there.
Funnel for the same reason, but you guys are allowing a lot of goals, as of late especially. I mean, how do you really clean that up? Because you guys are generating offensively. I know it's not one thing, but
yeah, we continue to focus on some details, but a lot of it is self-inflicted. We have pucks on our stick and we're not executing, and it ends up back in our zone. And it's not as systematic as it may be, just guys playing through it. So you just got to keep on it. You guys have to keep improving and work on improving. But I think everybody that watches us can visualize it. Sometimes when a guy has a puck on a stick and there's a play to be made, we had a hiccup. And that seems to be the more challenging issue. I don't feel, and I think our guys are comfortable with our system. And so you can't break, you can't lose confidence. You just got to keep pushing through. And I say it all the time. I know it's a broken record, but we got to keep getting better.
Especially probably at first period, those details were really clean. But once that push happens to the other team, which it seems like that's been kind of a trend, that's when those sort of little errors happen.
Yep, under pressure.
Yeah.
And so I've said before, sometimes it's perceived pressure. Sometimes you have more time space and you still don't make the play that should be made, or the simple play, and then it gets complicated and it looks complicated. And that happens. And the challenge of that second period, when that accumulates in the second period, the guys can't get off the ice. And then when it accumulates in game, some fatigue comes in, or maybe confidence to the other side comes in, and you're dealing with fighting that, so you're fighting a tougher battle as a result. So we need to be a little more efficient, effective when we do have possession, especially coming out of our end. We might have to kill a play. If we can clean that up, and as we clean that up, what you see is going to clean up.
Were you impressed with the way Casey played in his first game back?
Casey was extremely impressive tonight. Extremely. I was concerned with the amount of ice time I was gauging, even power play. I thought the power play, despite not scoring, the presence our power play had under pressure, the ability to break pressure, the ability to back a penalty kill off, was exceptional. We've added Olofsson back in a week ago or so, and Middlestead today, and that unit of five was, again, had a presence, and Mitzi sustained through the whole game, which was something you go in the first game in a couple of months as a coach, you're gauging that his conditioning was exceptional.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato saying there at the end about Middlestead coming back, that he said he was, quote, extremely impressive. Said he was concerned about that ice time coming back, that he sustained, but he did say that he sustained good play throughout. And, Middlestead's going to be a good player coming back here for sure, as the Sabres clearly needed. They're going to need all the fresh bodies they can get here. Next, another good team, Carolina, on Saturday. Okay, we're going to finish with Paul Hamilton's thoughts here. But before we get to Paul, let's take you now around the NHL, and we'll check the scores here. Just going final in overtime, the Sharks get a goal from Erik Karlsson, his fifth of the year, a minute into overtime, less than a minute in overtime. They beat the Islanders by a score of 2-1. Just starting the third period in Nashville, the Bruins right now shutting out the Predators by a score of 2-0. DeBrusque and Carlo with goals. 5 minutes into the third in Minnesota, the Wild doubling up the Devils right now. That's a 4-2 score. Kaprizov has two goals, his eighth and ninth of the season for the Wild. End of two in Dallas, the Stars with a 3-2 lead on the Columbus Blue Jackets. 10:30 puck drop in Los Angeles. The Kings will host the red-hot Calgary Flames, who are 13-4-5 this season. Okay, all the rest of these scores are finals. The Avalanche win tonight in Montreal by a score of 4-1. Kale McCarr, he is so good. He's now up to 10 goals on this season. Interesting stat I saw. McCarr, defensively, of course, for the Avalanche, has more goals than any of the Canadiens forwards do. Makar now up to 10. Avalanche again over the Canadiens 4-1. Lightning double up the Blues. That score is 4-2. Hedman had two goals, his fourth and fifth of the season. The Blackhawks in a shootout win in Washington over the Capitals. That score is a 4-3 final for Chicago. Fleury the win in goal. And in Carolina, where Buffalo will be next, they'll come in with a loss. They lose in regulation to the lowly Senators by a score of 3-2. Ranta in goal tonight for Carolina, so we'll see who is playing in that game. Svechnikov, his ninth, Teravainen, his fourth. Those are the two goal scorers for Carolina. So we will see the Hurricanes coming up on Saturday at 7:30 against the Sabres. Let's go to Thursday Night Football. They are started the third quarter at the Superdome in New Orleans, and it's Taysom Hill this week starting for the Saints, but New Orleans still just unable to manage much offense. Just one touchdown on the board. Dallas right now with a 13-7 lead. The touchdowns in this game for the Cowboys, Dak Prescott to Michael Gallup, a one-yard TD for this, and then two field goals from Greg Zuerlein. For the Saints, the scoring, Taysom Hill, a touchdown pass to little Jordan Humphrey. 13-7 Cowboys, 12 minutes to go, third quarter in the Superdome. Our score, Panthers 7, Sabres 4. Let's finish here our post game by getting Paul Hamilton's thoughts here on this game. Paul, you and I said it after, even when they were up 3-0, you said to me, hey, they got to keep scoring. You know Florida at some point is going to break through. I know the empties, it adds up to 7 in the end, which is a lot, but we felt like there wasn't a safe lead here tonight at all. We know the Panthers can put the puck in the net, and obviously they turned it on.
Yeah, we were talking about at the end of last period that they were going to need another goal or two if they wanted to win that game. So, and, you know, Zemgus Girgensons, you know, he doesn't put a puck away, you know, at his end. It hits a stick and hits a body, hits a crossbar, hits the body, doesn't go in the net, and it's a wide open net. So you don't score there. And next thing you know, before the whistle blows, Florida's got the goal. And it's 5-4 Florida instead of 5-4 Buffalo. Who knows what happens if it's 5-4 Buffalo? Now, that's a good team, the Florida Panthers. So, you know, they still might be able to recover from being down 5-4, but at least you'd like to find out. But it's just another game. You gave up 3 goals in 5:43. You blew 2-3 goal leads. I mean, this is just happening all the time now. You know, you've given up 7 goals in 3 of the last 6 games. You just you can't win games that way. But this giving up bunches of goals in a short period of time, and by bunches, I mean like 3 and 4 goals, not just a couple. I mean, and blowing 2-3 goal leads, you leave the first period up 3-0. And then at 11:16 of the second period, you score a fourth goal. And here you are more than halfway through the game up 3 goals. And you even leave the second period. You're still up a goal. And you don't even really come close. I know they outshot the Panthers 18-11, and I know Don Granato talked about that, you know, he's glad they stuck with it. So what? You know, they got outshot 21-6 in the second period. And I think, honestly, I think Don Granato's going to have to come up with a different tact because this isn't working. It's just not. I mean, you got Mittelstadt back, and he's right. Mittelstadt played pretty well. Well, what did it get you? You know, you blew 3 goal leads. I mean, nothing changed. I mean, you're scoring goals. I mean, you had 4 against the Rangers, 4 against the Blue Jackets, 4 against the Canadiens, 4 against the Kraken, now 4 against the Panthers.
4 against the Leafs.
You win one of those games. One. You had 4 against the Leafs. And you win one of those games. Now, you know, everybody's going after Dell again. He gave up 5 goals. He also faced 45 shots. 45. So what is he supposed to make 44 saves? Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. I mean, the first two goals are deflected. I think people are just making it too simple that it's the goaltending. Yeah, the goaltending has not been great this year at all. There's no question about that. But quite honestly, I've seen Dell play worse than he did tonight.
I would agree. 7-4 the final, Florida over Buffalo. Two empties after Florida took the lead, 8:05 into the third for good on Lindell's fourth of the season. The Sabres will be in Carolina on Saturday. Okay, so this style of play, Paul, it's producing offense, but it obviously is not producing great defense. And we know right now the Sabres don't even have great goaltending to make up for what could be bad defense at times. So is this system, do you think, sustainable as the Sabres start to get healthy players back? Mittelstadt, Tuck, maybe some players from Rochester, not even necessarily now, but in the future coming up, whether it's later in the season or next season. If there is what you'd consider to be, and I'm not saying all-star, but I would say quality level, average to above average NHL goalie in the net, is that enough, do you think, to keep playing the style that you think that you're seeing from this team?
Well, they definitely miss Anderson. But you look at the beginning, you know, they want to play an exciting style. Well, you look at the beginning of the year, they scored 5 goals, 2 out of the first 3 games. But they also only gave up 4 in those 3 games. They won 5-1, 2-1, 5-2. And then you lose 4-1. You lose an overtime 2-1. And then you beat the Lightning 5-1. So there you got 3 games where you scored 5 goals and you gave up 4 goals total in those 3 games. So that was, you know, the recipe for success back then. But, you know, the goals, again, are still basically going in the net. I mean, you go back to the Detroit overtime loss in Buffalo. They scored 3-3-3, 4-2-0, 4-4, 1-4-2-4-4. That should be enough to win some hockey games. But you can't be, you know, you give up 45 shots in this game. He gave up 41 to the Red Wings. He gave up 47 to the Bruins. He gave up 46 to the Penguins, and you won that game. That's not going to get it done. And, you know, I enjoy exciting hockey too, but, you know, I know he believes, Don Granato believes in, he's not going to be jumping on these guys' cases. They know when they make a mistake. It's not working. It's just not. And I don't know if he just doesn't know what to do or if he just is going to ride that no matter what. But maybe these guys need to hear from Don Granato and the coaches in a little more stern fashion that, you know, this isn't good enough. Rasmus Dahlin has responded to benching in the past. You know, maybe he needs to, you know, sit out a period or something like that when something goes drastically wrong and he's not doing the things that he should be doing. And I'm not just picking on him, anybody. I mean, it's just not working. And, I like Don Granato and I like a lot of his thoughts on hockey and I like how he likes to try things. But, I mean, I have never in all the years seen a team that gives up goals in bunches like this team does. It happens now and then, but not. This is almost a nightly basis. They're giving up 3 goals in 3 minutes, or 3 goals in 5 minutes, or 4 goals in 5 minutes. Game over. That's it. I mean, this one, 3 goals in 5:43. If you're concentrating in that 5:43 and don't give up any, you win the hockey game. I mean, they give games away in 5-minute intervals. And then you go and say, well, you know, they played well for 55 minutes. Yeah, so? That 5 minutes was some of the worst hockey you've seen in your life. And it just, I don't know what to say because I just have never seen this before. I have never seen anything like this. I have never seen a team that gives up goals in bunches like this team does. And by the time the night's over, 4 goals isn't good enough because of it. I don't know what they're supposed to do about it.
All right, well let's go ahead to Saturday now. You've got Lukanen at least still with the team at the moment, Paul. I know the Amerks are on a COVID pause, so Does he stay? Is he an option for Saturday? Is Subban going to be an option for Saturday? Is it one of those two for sure? We know Tokarski's not an option. Anderson's not an option. So I doubt Dell goes again. So the plan for Saturday, and you're playing a very, very good team again in Carolina.
The only way Tokarski would be an option is if he had a false positive test, you know, a false negative or whatever they call that, you know, then right. Possibly. But, yeah, I would think Tokarski would go back to Rochester tomorrow because, you know, Subban is supposed to be there.
UPL, you mean? Lukanen, you mean, right?
Yes.
Lukanen, you mean?
Yes, Lukanen.
Yes.
So okay. I would think he would go back to Rochester to make room for Subban on the roster, and I would think Subban would get the start on Saturday if Tokarski isn't ready.
Okay, so another good team coming up. I agree with all your points, Paul. I think you're spot on. I don't have much more to add. I do want to at least let's maybe finish with a couple positive things. Cousins scores again. He's playing quite well offensively. He's now on pace for 25 goals. He obviously sets up Hinostroza. And Mittelstadt comes back, and Don Granato really liked his game, he said, the energy that he got throughout. So
I did too.
For those that want something nice to think about, yeah, what do you think about those two tonight?
Yeah, no, I agree. And the first period, there were a lot of good plays in the first period. I mean, look at Dahlin on the first Hinostroza goal, joining the rush, coming down the left wing, you know, looking off a guy and then putting a perfect pass over at Hinostroza for the goal. I mean, that's a good play by Dahlin, who now has 9 points in 10 games. You know, Cousins undresses Joe Thornton. You know, wow. You know, I know Joe Thornton's old, but still, that's Joe Thornton. You know, and he gets an assist when he sets up Hinostroza for the other goal. And then Cousins gets a nice goal himself. So, I mean, that's the thing. You go through the game when they lose, and there are a lot of things you like. But, you know, in the third period, they outshot Florida 18-11. But who scored the goals? You know, Ekblad gets the power play goal. You know, Joki Haru takes a bad penalty at 19:53. You know, you've got the lead. Well, there's the power play goal. Ekblad ties it before you can even get going. And then, you know, you don't score on the wide open net. Florida comes down the other way and scores the game-winning goal. But yet Buffalo has 18 shots in the period. And, you know, Don Granato wants to talk about them keeping on it. Yeah, they did. But are we going to celebrate that? I mean, there has to come a time where we got to stop celebrating this. Well, they kept on it, and they outshot them 18-11. They got outscored 2-0. I don't care if they outshot them 18-11. You know, I don't care if they played the best hockey of their lives. You know, every now and then, fine. I'll give them credit for that. But when this is over nightly, every single night, and it's the goals they give up in bunches that kill them every single night, and they're blowing 3-goal leads. I just, you know, I don't care
Paul,
if they outshot them and came to play in the third period.
Paul, should Don Granato be using his timeouts more during games when he's sensing this is happening? Because he almost never does.
Yeah, most coaches don't, you know, and
I know.
You know, they want.
But this is but he's coaching a different team. Like he's right. Coaching a team that may not get to the end when you think you need that timeout because it might be over already at this point. I guess my thought is like, if there's a minute and a half left and you're tied, well, okay, be happy at that point. This has happened so often, like where we've sensed, it's unraveling and it's unraveling quickly here. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to have magical words to just change the game instantly in a 30-second timeout, but he almost never goes to that card, and I guess I'd just like to see that maybe he has a little pulse on that feeling to use it once in a while.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And lay into your team if you have to. You know, this isn't good enough. You know, well, they didn't manage the puck well enough in the second period. Yeah, I know. Well, let them know. I understand hockey players know when they play poorly. I get that. But this is just, I have never seen this. It just keeps happening over and over again. I mean, it was 4-1. I'm going to be honest with you. You and I were texting back. I knew they were going to lose this game. I knew they were going to lose because I knew this was coming. I knew that was coming. At some point, this was coming because it happens almost on a nightly basis, especially against a good team. So I knew it was coming. There it was. And that's the thing. If you can, if you know that this is going to happen, I mean, this team's got problems.
Okay, Paul, good stuff from you tonight. Appreciate your thoughts on postgame. We'll do it again Saturday. Carolina is good, so the Sabres better be ready to play a complete game because Carolina can do the same thing in a hurry.
Yes, they can.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Have a good night.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. 7-4, the final. Carolina up next. Just a quick note programming-wise, on Saturday, the game is 7:30. On a lot of original schedules, if you have like, you know, the magnet schedule or even, you know, a printed out schedule from the beginning of the season, they all said 7. So not that this affects your Saturday that much, well, you know, a half hour one way or the other, but just so everybody knows, we'll have pregame at 6:30.
I'm sure they puck have drop a lot at 7:30. Half hour, Brian. For the
that's right.
Half
that's
hour
right.
We'll be here.
So what, you know. Didn't want people tuning in at 6 for pregame.
Oh,
and
that's
be like,
true.
Hey,
no, no, no. I'm talking about the know. Teams. The teams will get a lot more done in that extra half hour so that they can prepare.
That's right. That's right. I agree. You know, I was thinking selfishly, of course, like, hey, people are going to be tuning in at 6 being like, where's Koziel with all that great insight on the pregame show?
I mean, they're going to be wondering
I'll just
that
be there
too.
At 6:30.
Of course. Why wouldn't they? That. Especially if the magnet right, calendar right. says 7 o'clock. They're all going to be tuning in at 6 expecting, you
Listen.
Know. Paul,
the magnet calendar,
or Paul, and then the game. That's how we do it.
The magnet calendar is huge for me. I have one at my desk. I have one on my fridge. I have one in the back of the door going to the garage. I've got one in my car. Like it's because what? Because when you work every single
guest services and making sure that they have the magnet calendar.
When you work every single Sabres game,
and that's always been a thing. If I ever go to the one of the opening night games.
That's right. And you know, if you're me that works every single game, like I always feel like, yes, I, you know, I know I can look it up on my phone, but it's just like there. If someone's like, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. I'm like, oh, let me glance at the magnet calendar quick. I love the magnet calendar. I hope those never go away. I know real tickets have gone away, but which I think are cool, but let's hope magnet calendars never go away. I always like those. All right. Think positively about the magnet calendar to carry over to Saturday night. That's when we'll talk with you next. We put a wrap here on the post game. Big thanks to TJ Luckman, our network producer tonight. Thank you, TJ. Pat Malacaro, our anchor, and on our game story at WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Thank you, Paul. Shopin the Bulldog on the pregame, and Daniel Levy and Rob Ray on the play-by-play. My name is Brian Koziel. Thank you for listening. Final again, Florida 7, Buffalo 4. We'll talk to you Saturday night, Sabres and Hurricanes, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.